Okay, let's get started. Mr. Colbert's not here. So we need a call to order and approval of the agenda, but before we do that, we have to amend the agenda, and that is because Andre Montgomery is not here, so number 6, A, B, and C will not be addressed tonight, but they will be addressed at the June 25th Finance Committee meeting. So if I could, I'd like to get a motion to amend the agenda, removing 6, A through C, and a second. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mr. Timmerman. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. We have the, all right, so next up is approval of the minutes from May 14th.
Agenda.
Okay. So what we do have to approve the amended agenda first. All those in favor, or did we have a vote?
We have
the motion. Forsyth and Mr. Hooper is second. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you. All right. So before we get going, Henry Leader is will be absent. His daughter is graduating, and John Burke has to leave at 6:30. Okay. Do we need a motion of approval of that, or we just make them stay? He says, no, I guess it's good, John. Okay. Approval of the minutes for May 14th. Is there a motion? Mr. Arquette, seconded by Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? And Chad's here. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next up is Brooke Rouse. Okay.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here again now that summer has started. I did intend to come last month, but there were a number of things that caused me to postpone, so I appreciate you rescheduling me. I just have a number of updates. We are working on a number of exciting projects. There's not a lot of budget information in here. This was really intended to be just an update on what we're working on. Hopefully you can spread the word within your areas for anyone who's interested in working with us on these things, or if you have any feedback as well. So just some updates. This is from the Tourism Economics Report. It's always a little bit delayed, so we have the numbers from 2016. Tourism continues to increase its impact in the county. I just showed the 2014 numbers and then the 2016 numbers. The 2015 numbers were just lost in my reporting. I'm not purposefully leaving them out. But as you can see from 2014, there's been a nice increase in tax and jobs and spend in St. Lawrence County from tourism. Can you guys see over my head? That's a challenge. And just want to say thank you for the funding commitment that was increased in the past year. This just shows occupancy tax has increased, which is good for the county, as well as the funding that's been dedicated to tourism. So that represents the increase at the end of 2017 and then the funding amount in 2018. Looks right. Mm-hmm. So what's new? We rolled out our new brand, which many of you have seen in different ways, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but just so you can see it again. The tagline and everything. This just shows how it rolls out in different aspects of marketing and digital and print advertisements. Again, the idea is to have a professional brand that visitors can start to recognize when they see our marketing and then when they get here. This is one thing that we were trying to push with the new brand, is for communities and different projects to embrace it, again, so that when people saw the brand in our marketing, that once they got here, they would feel that connection again, recognize that they're here, and it just starts to build that brand and the destination. So the Grass River Blue Way was working on a grant for signage. I was invited to one of their meetings to present the brand. They had a mock-up of a logo that they wanted to use for their signage and decided that they'd like to really embrace the brand, combine it with what they had envisioned for their logo for the Grass River Blue Way. And so we had our designer take their vision and utilizing our colors and fonts to, again, just kind of bring that together. So they're now working on production of these signs that are going to go up all along the Grass River Blue Way. So we're really excited about that and are in conversations with others about doing similar things in their communities. So again, if you're involved with any projects like that that we can help to work with, we would love to have those conversations. I'll invite up Deb, who is a major partner in this project.
You're good.
You can give me a message.
There you go.
So this project, we were awarded an RVRDA grant in 2016 to launch a multi-trails website. I know Deb invited someone from Lewis County, was it?
Yeah.
Probably over a year ago. Yeah. And they presented on their interactive website. That was one of the kind of the visions for what we could have here. So that's what we applied for and were awarded in 2016. It's been kind of pushed off for a couple of years due to other things and capacity. And then the company we were working with who did the Lewis County had to close her business suddenly due to health reasons. So we had to put back out for bid and search for a new company. We found a great company in Maine, Community GIS, that we've been working with really in the past 6 months to get all the data together and the design. So this is what the site will look like, again, embracing the new branding. You guys can't see. It's so pretty. So you can see it's a very simple, easy-to-use site. Embracing the brand will allow people to start exploring the trails. This website is not live yet. They were here last week to meet with us and presented at the Tourism Awards dinner we had Wednesday night. This is lower on the homepage, very easy click to different activities. And each of these will pull up that activity on the map. So if they're just interested in snowmobiling or paddling, and they click on that, that layer will pop up, so they won't have to navigate through a bunch of layers. This is what that would look like. So waterfall trails, for example, so there'll be a number of pins around that map. As you scroll over, this little box would pop up showing you about that trail. And you can see on the right-hand side, there are a number of ways that you can search, difficulty, type of trail, that kind of thing. And then it will bring up, this is a little bit small, then this will bring up basically the trailhead description that has distance, difficulty, where it's located, a description of the trail, directions to get there, the trail map specifically for that trail alone, as well as it's all an automated system with weather. It connects to Nature Up North, who's one of our partners, to look at, they do a lot with photos, so that allows people to engage. Geocaching we incorporated, and then our site, we incorporated all the tourism businesses, not just chamber members, but all of the tourism businesses there, and that's geo-targeted, so as they're clicking on, say, an ATV trail in Brazier, there would be, these would come up automatically based on that trail to show them where they can stay, where they can eat, right around that trail area. So that was a really important part for us. This company has never done that before, so we're excited, and that's really important that we integrate the businesses with the recreation. This is another really important part that we requested with the RFP. This just shows how the trail site can be embedded in any site. So, for example, with the Grass River Blue Way, if they create a website, they'll be able to embed a map just like this into their site showing the Grass River Blue Way. So that means that they don't have to go out and invest in this mapping technology. They don't have to keep it updated and manage it. They just put the coding in, and it's there. People can click on it. It will get a little bit larger, and then they can click through, which will take them to STLC Trails to navigate a little bit deeper. So that is something any community can use, any project can use, snowmobile site, anything can embed those maps. So that's really exciting to me and is going to be a huge cost savings for a lot of people. Several of the Blue Ways have built that into their budget. Now they're going to be able to use those funds in other ways. So before Deb gets to sit down, any questions on the trails specifically? Yeah.
You had mentioned the Brazier four-wheeler trails, ATV trails. You know, and think about one of the things that we're lacking here in St. Lawrence County, specifically in areas where we've got the all-purpose trails, snowmobiles. We're lacking infrastructure, and I specifically think about Cranberry Lake. The Cranberry Lake was for years a hot spot for snowmobiling. We've got wonderful trails up there. You know, there's just, and you can go anywhere from Cranberry Lake. But people don't stay there. You know, they pass through because there's no place to stay. There's no place to stay, there's no place to eat, there's no place to buy gas. Are you doing anything to try to entice hotels, motels to the area?
Yeah, and I know both of us are always having conversations with those communities because that is a huge challenge. And one of the things, it's a bit of a chicken and egg. You know, it's risky to open lodging and restaurants specifically. It's very difficult to get funding. It's risky all across the board. And so our hope is that by creating tools like this that drive people to those areas, that will help. You know, to have that kind of support and partnership is something that they can then use when they go to a funder and say, you know, this is a big push of the county. We can show stats to the website, things like that, that would hopefully help convince lenders to take the risk. But I know we're kind of anecdotally talking with people. Some of the communities are looking at doing tourism destination plans that would help basically do a SWOT analysis and identify what the gaps are, which would then allow the community to hopefully seek funding to incentivize that kind of business development in their area. So that's what I don't know if you want to add.
We hope this site, too, will work with when we're doing hiring in our area to bring people in to show the quality of life here. And those new people reaching to come into our area might be ones that are going to start up new businesses. We also want to reach on the health aspect of it because health initiative is very important. There's a lot of grants out there right now. Get people outside, get them off those computers. And we're hoping that some of those directions by having this portal might be able to help this develop and grow and show we've got something here for the investors to come in and build those lodging and restaurants. Sam up at the Seabees Point has started the campground there just where the Hams Inn used to be. And we had a new campground come up on Lake Ozonia Road when we built the trail down through there. Jelly Bean Campground has been very committed with us in Brazier because of the trail access to them. So now we hope to get into the hotels more. With more being built in Canton here, I'm feeling like I know they're filled during the college season with different events going on, but maybe we can use those hotels as the stay point to reach and then have them use our trail systems from there. So really, Canton and Potsdam is our best chance for lodging right now.
And there is another lodging initiative I'll touch on a little bit later. Any other questions on trails? Oh, sorry.
How are you?
I said Tom. I was like,
I think one of the answers maybe to Larry's question is simply supply and demand. I just spoke with a retired couple last week that have a bit of a nest egg, and they're looking for an investment. And they're waiting, and the part of their concern, you know, again, snowmobiles have been forever in the Cranberry Lake region, but they're looking for that 12-month-a-year activity at either a store, a general store, a supply chain of some kind. So I think as this continues on and it's more fluent and there's a, you know, what's a bigger part of the year, I think all of those things will happen just because it's going to represent opportunity for somebody who's got a little money to invest.
Thanks. And I would just add to that that, you know, we all need to keep advocating for access to internet, because that's a big thing. When Cranberry Lake and Star Lake got high-speed internet, they saw more people staying year-round, that kind of thing. So we need to keep pushing that. That will help those rural communities.
Lodgings also, though, all the camps they're buying to come up here and stay in. They might not stay here all year, but they're buying those camps to come up in. And, I mean, that's lodging in itself, and that helps us with taxes, too. So that's a benefit to us also. And when Tony touched upon the all season, that's really why the multi-use trail came about. We've seen how we've been able to develop and grow the snowmobile trail system, but it wasn't helping these businesses year-round. It only gave them one season, and we need to give them that seasonality, that four-season of business. And so the multi-use trail is helping fill that hole and give another season that will be open. So we're hoping that's going to help.
So that's a great job on the site. Did you say, when did you say that?
Yeah, so timeline is... We've got a big push and a whole crew of interns now working on final data pieces. Deb has added a tremendous amount of data, and the hope is to launch early August. We had really hoped to do it by Memorial Weekend, but we decided that we needed to make sure it was a really high-quality product before we launch it, because then people go there and say, they keep saying there are all these trails, and a lot of blank space there, so it's more important to us that it's a quality thing when it is launched. So we're hoping early August. Thanks. Just another initiative. I think I mentioned during the budget process, but the Thousand Island Seaway region was successful in getting a Market New York grant. Really focused on the St. Lawrence River, especially the communities who were negatively impacted by the high waters from last year, and there was a lot of physical destruction, but also reputation was really challenged because people saw all over the media that they couldn't access the shore, and there was a major mess from the high waters. And so this campaign was really designed to rebuild the reputations and say, make sure you come back this summer. It's a great place to be and all of that. So this was something where we were able to use a good chunk of the funding outside of the Isle of New York matching funds dollars. So we've invested $6,750 and we'll get an additional $13,688. So it's a great boost up on that match. So we'll have a total of over $20,000 to do promotion. Another thing I like about this is that a lot of it is building content that we'll be able to use on websites, publications, all of that, photo, video, that type of thing, which we can also hire local professionals to do. So a lot of that money is going to stay right here in the county and certainly in the North Country. This is just an example of the landing page we have on our website and the type of ads that we'll be pushing to that site that will then allow people to navigate around our site and see very easily 13 top things to do along the 60 miles we have of the St. Lawrence River. Another one of our major initiatives right now, and I handed out the brochures, is conference tourism. Just to give you an update on where we are there, we joined the Empire State Society of Association Executives and created the brochure. We've also got a page on the website that reiterates all of those resources available for meetings and conferences. We've registered to attend the ESSAE trade show, which is next week in Saratoga. So again, that is specifically targeting New York State associations that are looking for destinations to hold their conferences in. We'll be in a block with the Thousand Islands region. And so those folks will be just taking a little trip of New York State in that trade show hall to see where they want to have their next show. And we do recognize with kind of 200 people is the prime spot for conferences here, and so most likely it would be a New York State association, so that's why we chose to attend that instead of a national conference that we wouldn't be able to attract. We wouldn't be able to accommodate a conference of, you know, 2,000 people or 1,000 people anyway. So that's the conference we decided to go to. We also have been reaching out a lot and have a list of about 25 quality prospects that fit within that niche of what we think we can best serve in the county. And we'll be obviously developing a lot more contacts next week at the trade show and following up with all of them to get them booked for 2019. Again, when I pitched this, we recognized it would be about an 18-month project, knowing that people book a year in advance for their next show. They like to always send people away saying, you know, we'll be in St. Lawrence County next year. So you can have a look at the brochures I handed out. I just did a screenshot here, but just a quick overview of what we have available here to offer. We are kind of pitching the different aspects of the destination that might attract specific associations, and we'll learn more about that and learn more about those contacts next week as well. This was just the part of the presentation when I was here last year looking at the breakdown. So our goal again is to book 8 conferences of about 200 people with 100 overnights each in the next year now. Back to Larry's question. We've been involved, maybe you have heard of the North Country Lodging Development Feasibility Study. It is something that was launched specifically for the North Country, recognizing that there are opportunities here, but the state could probably play a bigger role in making that connection. And so they hired Ernst & Young to do a lodging study across the North Country and specifically identify opportunities in each of the counties. So I've spent quite a bit of time in the last couple months creating itineraries, contacts for them, meeting with them, sending them a lot of information to help them with this study. Ernst & Young finished their study. That then went on. They provided their recommendations of where they thought lodging could happen and would be ideal in this county. They passed that on to another consulting group, Fish Partners. I've met with them, also sent them a lot of information, and they have identified a community. I don't think it's public information, so I better not say, but they've identified a community where they think a unique property, lodging property, could be put in, and their job was then to come and really figure out the details of what that might look like, what would be appropriate and sustainable for that community. And from there, my understanding is that they'll basically put together almost like a bid of what they think should be built there, and with the state connections that will be available to developers, with them not having to do all of that background work that the state just put a lot of time and money into identifying. So hopefully that will help attract developers to this community, which would also benefit the entire county. So I think that more information will become public, and if I find out I can share more, I will do that. So that's very exciting, interesting process. Some of the other initiatives we have going on, we're looking at a number of different grant opportunities. We're looking at applying for funds through NYPA's Power Proceeds for a part-time position that would focus on fishing tournament coordination. We've seen in other areas that tournaments that happen frequently and at different scales are what really drive the economy and really start to build a fishing industry. So NIPA is very interested in that being a bit more coordinated and strategic and ongoing year-round. And so that's what we're looking at with them right now. People's Project, I don't know how much people have heard about that, but through the American Federation of Teachers, there's a local commitment to St. Lawrence County, and one of there are three working groups. One is economic development. I'm in that group, and that group identified a lot of challenges with tourism and economic development, and a lot of it, me sitting in the room, thought, well, that's something a chamber should be doing, really, if they had enough resources. So we're meeting in the next couple of weeks. We've invited, I think maybe you all received an email invitation as well as supervisors and mayors, to attend a meeting to look at the possibility of a different model that would integrate all of the community chambers, the county chamber, perhaps create a totally new model, create something that works better, because all of the chambers are kind of suffering. And I think we could all be doing a better job at our shared missions, really, as well as the communities that don't have chambers or economic developers. So that would give them an opportunity also to be a part of other opportunities. So the AFT is providing a facilitator to take this group of stakeholders through that process to help identify potential models. So we'll see what comes of that. But if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to share as well. We're participating this year in a promotion to highlight haunted places in the county. It's just a new marketing initiative. We're also working with the Thousand Island Seaway region on increasing the Chinese market. We're working with a marketing company based out of New York City that works with the Chinese market in New York as well as mainland China. They're a small group, not big tour bus, so it's more quality stay that we're looking at. That company will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week. We have 2 days of itinerary for them to come, enjoy, take pictures, write about, and then and we've set up the opportunity for them to sell packages here as well. So that's exciting. It might be a stretch, but that's through the Thousand Islands region that we're trying out, and they seem to think there'll be interest. Our visitor center downtown is owned by NYSARC, and they got a Main Street grant to redo the facade, so you'll see some construction going on there, but it will be basically restored to the historic facade there, which we hope will help attract more visitors into the center. Right now, there's tint on the windows, and it looks like it's always closed. It's not very appealing, so we're excited about that project. There were a couple other things that I noted as I was coming in here. We also applied for a grant, the New York Great Lakes Basin Small Grant Program, for $25,000 to do a tourism destination area master planning process with the Lake St. Lawrence communities, so Messina, Louisville, and Waddington. So that would help them, as I mentioned before, do a SWOT analysis, identify opportunities, gaps, and then move forward with that. That document would also then be available to folks who are interested in developing business to kind of use as part of their application. So hopefully we'll hear about that soon. And the other project that I thought of, there are probably many others, we're working with Cornell Cooperative on a local food marketing project that we're kind of going to be the marketing partner with. The whole effort is to increase demand from visitors and residents of local food, and therefore increase the need for farmers to produce. Just some quick numbers. The website has been rebranded, and we've seen about almost a 30,000 increase in hits to the website, so we've been very pleased with that. We're doing a lot of digital marketing that drives people very easily to the site, so that's great. We've already seen 30,000 visits this year. That's in 5 months, so that's looking good as well. 86% new visits, that's really the most important number because that means that new people are looking at the website. It's not just people who have been there or us in the office or whatever the case may be. So that number's up a little bit too. So that's really positive. Facebook has seen a huge increase. We did invest money into trampoline last year, and we're working with a new company this year to really push social media. So we've had an increase of 2,000 followers in the since 2016, and already 800 new followers just this year. So again, that push is working. We're seeing those results. And I just use this as an example. You can see it reached almost 6,000 people, just this post. So that means it showed up on their feed, which is great. Instagram, we rebranded and restarted. Our goal was to have 500 followers. We have 633. There were only 75 about a year ago. So again, that's a big push and has been successful. This is the long-term vision that I mentioned. Just, you know, our real goal is not just to do marketing, but to be involved in business development and destination development around tourism. We'll continue to apply for grants and work with communities to build infrastructure and build the destination, because we can't market it if it's not there when they get here, and that's something we recognize as a really important piece of what we do. Briefly, when I was here last time, we received support and funding for a part-time position. We set out and hired that part-time position in December, and unfortunately it didn't work out. So she was with us about 4 months, and then I had to let her go. But so this is the current staff, and then we do have our full-time intern. Kara is here, just started last week from St. Lawrence, housed and paid for by St. Lawrence, so we appreciate that opportunity. So what we're looking at, and some of you may have seen, we posted for an assistant director position to take on a lot of the membership and workforce training things that we have going on, so that I can focus on more of the tourism development and marketing and those kind of opportunities, because that's my expertise, and then I would oversee everything, obviously. So that position closed last night, and we got 19 applications, so really excited about that. A lot of quality people. It's going to be tough, so that's great to see. There was a lot of interest. We always ask how businesses are contributing. This is our leadership circle that allows our supporters to contribute on a higher level if they'd like, and we've increased. I think we've got maybe 4 or 5 new folks on the leadership circle at different levels this year, so we are seeing a tremendous amount of support from our businesses, and continue to find ways to have them support the project. With the sustainability of the trails website, we'll be looking again also for that kind of support from businesses, as well as grants, as Deb mentioned. That's it. Question? Dave, or can you call me?
On the website, the hits are up. What page is coming up most frequently? What is being looked at most often? Fishing?
I'd have to look. I didn't bring the stats, but I can get you
more
detail.
Yeah, I'd be curious which area they're going to, whether it's lodging or fishing or whatever. But if you could add that, I'd appreciate just knowing where they're looking.
Yep definitely.
What do you see as the Chamber's part in the Bassmasters tournament, and if they're successful, the 3 following years that they say they want to be coming back to hold additional tournaments?
Yeah, we're really excited. That's an incredible opportunity for the whole county, the multi-year contract. This year, we've been doing a tremendous amount of marketing. We've obviously got it front and center on our site. We've got another created another page within this as well. All of our fishing marketing has had a specific call to that event highlighted there. We've been working with some writers to write about it and come in and cover it. We really see our role as making sure people know about it and come to it, but also bigger picture that it just exposes the world to Waddington and to the St. Lawrence River. And so we have been working those contacts and we'll continue to do so to make sure there's as much publicity as possible, again, not just to come to the event, but for people to know about the resource in the future.
Is there a cooperative effort with Waddington, those local people that are heavily involved in that presentation by the chamber?
We don't sit on the volunteer committee, but we're in frequent contact with them, and if they need help, they get in touch with specific marketing things or with I Love New York, and whenever we put things out, we make sure they're aware of it, cross promotion on all the digital, the websites and Facebook and that kind of thing. So we're
I personally think that the chamber would be missing a great opportunity not to become more involved in there. It's a great thing. It does draw people. It is something that obviously the fishermen like. And if fishermen like it, they bring their families, and we all know the rest. So I would hope that the chamber and Waddington would form a partnership and make this thing even bigger than it is.
Well, and I think with being able to build the staff, not only with the assistant director, but the application to NIPA for that position, the thought with that was that they would pretty much solely focus on tournaments and other major events in the county. And so that person would be working with that throughout the year and potentially take some of the day-to-day labor off of that volunteer committee. We're not sure how that will look, but we actually have a meeting with Bob on Thursday. I think Janet's out of town. So we'll be talking about what they see with this multi-year contract, how we can work together, what they would really like help with, so that we can make that happen. Because we definitely see a benefit in having it under the chamber, because we already get so many of those contacts and we're doing this work every day, as well as there being kind of a very obvious point of contact, at a phone number with an answering machine. And, it just kind of, I think it helps the whole big picture.
Brooke, when you mentioned the Outdoor Writers, have you reached out to the New York State Outdoor Writers Association? There's a large group of them. We've hosted
Outdoor
them
Writers
a couple times.
Outdoor Writers Association?
The New York State.
Yeah,
Outdoor,
they're on that list of 25.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if not, I've got some contacts for that to help them write about it, because New York State, I would imagine, would want to promote as much as we could.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Right.
I will follow up with you.
All right.
On that. Yeah.
Just to reiterate what Joe Lightfoot's comments was, I think there's a set of fatigue that with the group from Waddington, they're aging out, and it's a small group of four or five individuals, and we saw that in the multiple requests we had for some numbers, and we saw them struggle when they went to other organizations, communities and stuff, looking for support. So we think, especially now with the opportunity for a four-year contract, we really think that it's something that we need a professional structure,
yeah,
organization to be involved.
Exactly.
Because there's only so much volunteers can do. And you have leadership there, but they're tired. And I think, we saw some gaps and some holes in throughout the process this time, that we really think that somebody, either the chamber or this tournament structure that you talked about with the New York Power Authority, somebody needs to grab a hold, and I think that would possibly be a role for you, our local organization, rather than NIPA so much. We could use their support also, but
NIPA's just providing the funding.
Yeah.
So, and it would be the position, and there is an opportunity to include in the grant some hosting fees as well as marketing. So we're hoping that will be exactly what you said. It'll give it structure so that it can be consistent. We're looking at a 3-year commitment from them.
It's a different ball game, and it's very important. This could be, this could be a really breakout thing for this community, St. Lawrence County, Waddington, just this in the river. If it's done properly and it's well organized, and it turns into a successful, happy event like it has been in the past. But it's rough. It's multiple hours by minimal number of people making this happen.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not sustainable. So hopefully that's successful. And one of the other things that's kind of crossing between People's Project and what we're looking at with fishing tournaments, their real goal is to kind of bring up the whole county, starting with the schools. And so one of the things they're looking into is developing high school fishing teams. And by doing that, it gives another opportunity to a different student body, and also creates a demand for more high school tournaments. And that's really, those smaller tournaments can have a greater impact because the whole family comes, they come for the weekend, they're going to come back for Father's Day, they're going to come back for a week in the summertime. And so that's kind of a cool project of, the beauty of partnership is as they're building that and we're getting a tournament organizer in place, they can then say, all right, we've got, five teams around the county. This person's then going to say, all right, where are the rest of those teams? Let's recruit them. Let's set up tournaments and let's have them once a month and then fill in these bigger tournaments and other regional tournaments of different levels. And then we have tournaments every other weekend somewhere along the river. And that's when you start to really see the impact from what we've seen, on Lake Champlain and other parts of the country. So it's exciting. Dave, we can just have lunch sometime.
Well, one other thing is the New York State record walleye was just caught in Lisbon behind Big Island. That should be somewhere on that page pretty quick.
Swimming.
Well, a lot of times they go upriver. But anyways, that's huge, I think. Somewhere there should be noted that was caught in St. Lawrence County.
I think we we shared that on the Facebook page. Was it yesterday? So I'll double check that was the right post. Yeah, and anything like that you see, feel free to email me at any time because we try to scope things, but you might be in different networks where you're seeing things that send along and say, hey, this is pretty cool. We can share this and boost it. Any other questions? We've got my card and you've got the brochure, and we have more copies of that available. So if you are in any associations or you yourself are going to be traveling anywhere, the hope is that you'll be able to hand that over and say, hey, get in touch with Brooke and invite them to host. And if you grab their card, we can do the follow-up and try to seal the deal for them to come up here. So thank you again. Thank you so much for the funding. It's been really... it's amazing how much work we've been able to get done this year, even with the staff come and go, just not having to worry so much every day and just to be able to focus on what we feel we're here to do. So thank you again for that. Thanks.
All right, we'll have Youth Bureau. We need a motion approving the 2018 Resource Allocation Plan Program of the Office of Children and Family Services and authorizing the chair to sign contracts for youth development programs from various organizations. Mr. Sherman and Mr. Denisha.
Hi,
The first resolution is approving the 2018 resource allocation plan for St. Lawrence County. These are the contracts that were submitted. It was a three-year RFP. We're in the last year of the RFP, and these were the contracts that were awarded at that time.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, we need a motion authorizing the chair to sign the 2018 resource allocation plan signature page. Mr. Arquette and Mr. Perkins in this bill.
Okay, and once you approve this at the board meeting, the package goes to the county attorney and he goes through the contracts, and then it comes back for the signature of the treasurer and the board chair. And so this is approving that signature for that page.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Joanne.
Okay, thank you.
On to public health. We need a motion authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Jack Maneski, CPA and Associates, to prepare the preschool/school supportive health services annual Medicaid cost report for public health department for the July 1, 2018 to June 30th, 2019 program year. Mr. Timmerman and Mr. Perkins. Dana.
Hi. This is the annual contract that we sign with the Maneski Group. They do the preparation of our required cost report. This is just an annual contract that you sign.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, we need a motion authorizing the chair to sign the emergency preparedness program contract for the public health department. Mr. Timmerman, and seconded by Mr. Arquette.
This second one is our annual contract for the emergency preparedness program. This program just does keep us ready should there be an event that we need to plan for. And it's the same amount as last year, yes.
Any questions for Dana? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the last one for public health, we need a motion for authorization to fill a public health program aid position in the public health department. Mr. Sherman and seconded by Mr. Perkins.
This authorization is to refill the position. We've recently had an internal promotion, and this spot is important to support both the vaccination and our STD clinics.
Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. You have one other
item
for discussion? Okay.
So I was supposed to bring to you, we did have a power outage back in mid-April, and I just wanted to report that we lost just a significant amount of our vaccinations. So what happens is we have some of our refrigerators, and we did not find out quite right away, and then the buildings and grounds did replug in or did plug in the generator that we have that they can bring over, but the vaccinations were warmed up for approximately like 2 to 3 hours, and so we lost about $10,000 in those vaccinations. We are able to recoup some of this because we can return those that are going to be they're going to be expiring, but we are working. We've worked hard with the buildings and grounds and with IT. What we did find out is the monitor that we have on the fridges does not work when there's a power outage, so we had to replace or to kind of upgrade the modem that goes for that so that it can be battery operated. So that has been put into place, but we are still looking to see what a quote would be for us to have just our own generator, so that you know we won't have this just for the future. Can I answer any questions for you, or do you have any feedback? So this was quite a loss for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Next, we have. So Social Services, we need a motion authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the Department of Homeland Security for participation in E-Verify. Mr. Burke, seconded by Mr. Pickman.
So this first proposed resolution has to do with a agreement with Homeland Security for the E-Verify program. It's an electronic program to confirm eligibility to work. We have some individuals who are handling federal tax information, and we're required to have this in place.
Any questions on that? Yes, Mr. Hooper.
Chris, I'm just wondering how this works. You said it has to do with federal tax information and protecting that.
Right. So it's among the requirements that we have for background checks for people who are handling this information. And it is part of our putting together a way to comply with those background check requirements. So after the I-9 is completed, this is a process that we are able to use electronically to confirm eligibility to participate. The truth is we haven't done it yet, so exactly how the logistics are going to work is something that we need to sort out. But there's a boilerplate agreement that is to be signed, and we know that we're obligated to sign it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the next one, we need authorization or motion for authorization to fill an employment and training counselor position in the Department of Social Services and One Stop Career Center. Mr. Hooper, seconded by Mr. Arquette and Ms. Bell.
So this is a position that I think could be exceedingly useful to the county. It's structured a little bit differently than our previous positions that we've had, in that it is taking the funding from both the Department of Social Services that's used in connection with temporary assistance benefits to help make sure people are engaged in work activities, and combining it with the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act funding, which also has employment training counselors carrying out work, and we'll try to take parts of those two different roles and combine them into a position that will be helpful in terms of both engaging our recipients of public benefits in work activities, but also reaching out to dislocated workers, youth workers, and others. And the reimbursement's approximately 80%.
Any questions for Chris? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And old or new business? No old or new business. I assume you want to do executive session after. Then if there's nothing else, we will adjourn the Services Committee.
Call to order the Operations Committee meeting of June 11, 2018. First order of business is approval of the agenda. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mr. Arquette, Mr. Denisha. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. And next we need approval of the minutes of the May 14th meeting. Mr. Timmerman, seconded by Mr. Arquette and Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. First, we have a resolution by probation, Tim LePage, authorizing the chair to sign a memorandum of understanding with the North Country Crime Analysis Center for data sharing activities. Mr. Timmerman, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot.
Tim?
This Crime Analysis Center has been going on statewide for a while now. It was a partnership between the New York State Law Enforcement Associations and the DCJS of the State Department of Justice Services. And they're now starting to expand. They wanted to start off slow and work just with law enforcement and DA's offices for a while. They've done that. They've established themselves. Now they're starting to reach out to other agencies. So now they're moving on to probation throughout the state. After us, they're going to be moving on to state corrections. What they want to do is they want to be able to share information back and forth. They want to know who's been on probation, who's on now, what they're on for. It's going to be strictly adults. It's going to be post-sentence. They're going to have to be sentenced already. So none of it's going to be confidential information. They're not going to have access to drug tests or mental health evaluations or anything of that nature. It's going to be strictly names, dates of birth, and crimes committed. What we're going to get out of it is we're going to be able to use a lot of their resources. They helped with some of the things they've recently helped with are the Amish girls that were missing. They helped with the last drug bust, Operation Gravy Train. What they do is they help paint an overall picture, at least in Gravy Train, that's what they did. So they took all the players that were involved and linked how they were connected, and they just amassed this array of information that the courts were able to use, the prosecutors were able to use to help paint a picture on how far throughout the state this actually went and how everybody was connected. And it helped with the prosecution rate, I think. So this is really going to help statewide. It's going to help all law enforcement agencies work together better and share information better.
Questions for Tim? Mr. Akers.
Tim, where's the funding for the NCCAC come from?
So it comes through DCJS. It's basically all through them. And the facility, if you ever get a chance and if anybody ever wants to go, I'd love to take anybody there. Our area is out of Malone, and the facility is unbelievable. It's really nice. It's like you see on the crime shows where they have a big wall of TVs, and you know they have security. They're downtown Malone. You can see the intersections on cameras, and you know, and they have a board in this other corner of this suspect and how it goes, you know, just a crime board, basically. It's really, really neat to see. And it is all funded through DCJS.
So where's the oversight on these guys, on the NCAA, no, NCCAC? I mean, who do they answer to?
Through DC, they're an actual division of DCJS.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Point out that the that organization in Malone is headed by a Waddington resident. He's a retired deputy superintendent in the state police, Dave McBath. It was his daughter that gave the presentation here the other night. That's pretty good reflection on the father too. So he's a heck of a guy, and he did it with the state police and the same type of stuff. And he's above board. You won't ever have to worry about David Bath.
He sang his praises when people were talking about our center up here and how well he got it started and how quickly and how they jumped right into it, and it was all attributed to him. Very well respected.
Any other questions for Tim? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. The next resolution is proclaiming July 15th through 21st, 2018, as Probation, Parole, and Community Supervision Week. Mr. Timmerman and Mr. Forsyth.
This is our yearly proclamation. This is to raise awareness of the job my staff does and to pay tribute to them for doing the sometimes very unthankful job that they do. Same type thing we did last few years. We're looking for a project to do. My staff is refusing to paint again. We've painted probably the last 5 years, so we're looking for something a little different this year. We'll be doing a staff picnic again, and we're going to do some radio announcements probably this year and maybe some other training. What we're hoping to do is maybe get, instead of doing a service event this time, we may try to work with Horizons in Messina, maybe to get some youth together and challenge them in a game of kickball or something and make a day of it, have a picnic for them on one of the days. That's what we're hoping for.
Any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. We're going to move on to Human Resources. We have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a facilities use permit with the State University of New York College of Technology at Canton, New York. Mr. Akers, Mr. Lapierre.
From time to time, Human Resources needs additional space to hold certain exams that are too big that the county cannot accommodate. So we need to sign a facilities use permit with with Canton College that will allow us to use their facilities. This is signed on an annual basis.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you, John. Is there any old business to come before the committee? Any new business to come before the committee? Mr. Lightfoot.
Expected to report that on Thursday, the 7th of June, myself and legislator Peter attended a meeting of the St. Lawrence County Mayor's Association here in Canton. And the county attorney and Joe Peckham from Dyad presented to the group the nuts and bolts of our workers' comp, how the formula why it was put together, for a little over an hour, perhaps an hour and a half, we listened to the minutiae in the workers' comp board. We know it very well. I think everybody that had a question had answered to their satisfaction. And when it was all over the phone, the comments that I heard were that it's a good thing. Something that county agreed to and promulgated to have Mr. Beckett come up and the county attorney to make the presentation. The mayor, Dougal, was gracious enough to give us the invitation. And I think it's very well. They now know everything about everything that they ever wanted to know about workers' comp. And we welcome.
Any other new business? Seeing none, we'll move on to the county administrator's report.
Okay. As you know, this evening we tested out some new technology We'll continue to tweak that. We want to make sure everyone in the room can see. We may potentially also be looking at a screen on the other side of the room, but we want to make sure we continue to evolve. IT has been exceptionally helpful. And as we walk through, you'll remember in the budget process, we tried some things a little bit different, but we'll continue to do that as well. Vacancy review was held last week. As I mentioned in my last report, 8 positions were reviewed, 5 were approved, 2 you considered this evening. In summary, so far from January to June, there have been 80 positions requested, or about 10.2% of our workforce. 69 of those positions, or 8%, have been approved. Of those 80 positions, so far approximately an 86% fill rate of the vacancy review committee. 12% have been held, so approximately 10 of those 80 positions that have been requested, or 2% of that group, have been held for questions or sent back for another look at options related to positions. And one has been withdrawn, so I think that process is moving along well. To follow up on what Joe mentioned, for workers' comp this year, the county attorney is going to take the opportunity either most likely in July, as we adopt the algorithm resolution every year, to give you a presentation. As you all will recall, and certainly have lived, turning the workers' comp formula upside down a bit, and the implementation also could use some explanation of how the performance has been and how the strategy has unfolded in terms of the payout. So I think that information will come to you. We'll also pass along an invitation to the group that Joe mentioned, as well as the towns, to attend that meeting and hear the presentation in July. Wanted to make you aware that Excellus has just notified us that they're going to be reducing the administrative fee associated with the MD Live. And as for those of you who participated in the year in review with them, that's an effort that we've asked them to push this coming year, both with enrollment as well as usage, because the costs are so much decreased over a real visit. If a real visit is warranted, certainly they're going to encourage that as well. But that was 65 cents per contract or per person. Overall reduction expected of $9,976 for the MD Live. So there'll be no cost associated with that for us. Wanted to give you an update. Some of you have been involved and sat down with Ralph Benefit Advisors, who's partnered with NYSAC, to look at a financing collective. And putting together an intermunicipal agreement between counties to look at stop loss for health insurance. One of the interests that came out of the meeting that I attended in Syracuse, but also Dylan attended last Friday, is to assist in the construction of the intermunicipal agreement. So one of the aspects of it that we have is the ability to join now, so we understand how it's constructed, but also as part of the budget process and the board's decision, decide later if we're going to opt in for the stop loss coverage. So we think that exercises the best benefit for the county to both be in on the construction of the agreement, but at the same time, up until now, we haven't had the numbers to warrant a stop-loss policy to bring that recommendation to you, nor have our third-party administrators. So this gives us an option to another option to bring to you as far as an interest if the numbers dictate that we should make that recommendation. So we'll continue working on that and bring you information. Last week, we began discussions with the Bar Association, the Assigned Counsel Administrator, for another contract for the Assigned Counsel or the 18B plan, and are both folding in the discussion relative to indigent defense, as well as looking at the region that we live in and how we may improve both recruitment and retention of attorneys to this plan. We have a shortage in family court attorneys who are willing to take cases, and it just becomes difficult because we are limited in the resources we have available. So a good conversation. We're going to continue to meet and bring a contract forward to you for approval, hopefully in the next 6 to 8 weeks. And then finally, I did mention to all of you a month or so ago of interest to hold a committee meeting or board meeting at the St. Lawrence County Fair. We've been able to make arrangements to hold the finance committee that will require at the board meeting in July, adjusting that date. The fair is held July 31st through August 5th. We'd like to hold the finance committee meeting on Monday, July 30th to kick off the county fair. So we've made arrangements with Don Peck to do that, and we'll give you details as far as we get closer to that date. So I got answers questions.
Any questions for Ruth? Then we will need a motion to go into executive session. Mr. Fay, seconded by Mr. Timmerman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. We'll go into executive session.